DavidReneke.com, great website. The man himself's even better. Hello, David.
You're too kind. Good to be back with you, Bill.
Mate, it's exciting when it comes to Mars. I'm now seeing, was this true the other day? NASA was testing a helicopter they can use on Mars?
Yeah, why not? Everyone's got a drone, haven't they? Have you got a drone?
I called it a UAV, but apparently somewhere 5 years ago it changed to drone.
Yeah. Mine used to be one of those things you pull with a string.
Boom, Tish.
And the little thing flies up like a... Well, we're going to send a helicopter to Mars. You might think, why do that? Well, the answer is why not? Mars is a place we need to know more about. And all we've been doing is sending rovers there with little wheels on them. They get stuck in the sand and don't travel very far. The Opportunity and Spirit that we sent there about 15 years ago now have probably clocked up no more than about 15 or 20K on the odometer. And that's not enough. We need to be able to get over that terrain of Mars more quickly. And the idea has come up now. They're going to try this in 2020 when we launch our rover there. They're going to send what, in essence, would be a drone to us. Now, Mars represents a big challenge because the atmosphere is only 1% of what it is here.
So there is something there, though.
There is something. It's carbon dioxide. It's not air. It's something we can't breathe, but it is a thin atmosphere. And the problem with that is we're going to have to spin the blades on this at about 3,000 revs. That's 10 times faster than you would have to do here on planet Earth. Give you some idea how thin it is. If you're an overseas airliner and you're heading to America or Britain or whatever, you open the cabin door at 50,000 feet or 40,000 feet or whatever it is, that's the experience you'd have on Mars. The same sort of coldness and the same thin atmosphere. Now, with a drone like that, freely ready to roam with its own sense of direction and scanning capability, we can cover a lot more of Mars than what we've been doing in the past.
Mm.
So the idea on paper does work. We're going to try and see if it does work in principle when they do send this there in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, I know drone's a sexy word, but let's just say Mars helicopter. That sounds even better.
Mars helicopter. Watch out, helicopters on Mars might be a probability very soon.
Could be a name of a movie as well.
I think, look, this thing could be balloons, you know, if we can do it. And you remember the movie The Martian? You saw that, didn't you?
That's right, the bull. Yes, I remember him, yes.
Yeah, look, on Mars, the problem with Mars is the winds can get up to 200 or 300 kilometres an hour. That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
They won't blow you over. They're not as strong physically. They are. The wind speeds are there, but the pressure itself wouldn't cause you too much distress. It'd be uncomfortable. But we're not sure whether balloons would work there too, so who knows? Could it be a helicopter? Could be a plane. You never know.
Mm. It's all right. So Mark Zuckerberg, as you know, been in a lot of trouble for his Facebook antics and data mining and that sort of thing. And I don't know if this is a distraction, David, but is he starting to look for aliens too now?
Yeah, you've got to hand it to these people. I mean, they've got a lot of money. They've built their fortunes in the dot-com boom and in social media. Mark Zuckerberg has come in for a bit of flack over the past few weeks, and probably rightly so. I mean, Google have been doing the same thing. They've all been misusing and abusing their authority to a degree. But on the other side of the coin, there is a different side that we don't normally see, or it's not really, you know, publicised as much as what it should. Him and a few others have put a bit of money together, and they're going to look for ET. It's called Breakthrough Listen. Now, the man's name he's tied up with, the partner of Zuckerberg, is a man by the name of Yuri Milner. Yuri Milner is a name that probably wouldn't resonate with most people, but in Russia, he's a big deal. He's the equivalent of Bill Gates. So he's a multi-billionaire in his own right. They've now put together $100 million in a float, and they've given the opportunity to Parkes Radio Telescope here in New South Wales to conduct a search for ET. What that means is that this money will allow them to put together 1,500 hours of observation time and get people in there with the right sort of equipment to search our immediate neighbourhood. Within a reasonable distance of us here, there's probably thousands of planets out there. Now, we're looking for signal, looking for that sign, that telltale sign that somebody's out there amid all of that background radio noise. Now, the universe is very, very loud. It is noisy. But if we can pick that sound up, and your radio engineer, your station would know, it's called a narrowcast signal. If we can pick something like that up, we'll know that ET is either communicating within himself or he's communicating with others around him.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, David.
Well, look, if we do pick it up, we'll answer that eternal question. Are we alone? Because that signal has to be made by a mechanical device or an intelligence of some sort.
You know what I thought too, David? When you look at Mark Zuckerberg, I'm thinking he's an implant from somewhere else.
He does look like...
Is that being cruel?
He could fit into an episode of Star Trek, I'm sure. Look, you've got to hand it to the guy. If they're putting their money into these searches, you know, SETI does need the input. You don't get government funding for a SETI program, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Look, this presupposes, of course, that if ET is out there, and we think he is, it presupposes that he's using radio. Now, there may not. There may be a form of communication that we haven't come across yet, so we'd never, ever hear them. But it's a shot in the dark. It's a try. And I think it's a great gesture for them to do that. It's $100 million going into what's called the breakthrough. Listen, and get this. The amount of information that this is going to download is just beyond belief. They expect about 100 petabytes of raw data. To the ordinary people listening, and you and I, that's 5 million...
Holy heck!
...HD movies that you could download.
Oh, I don't think I could get through any of those in my lifetime, David.
That's a lot of CDs.
All right, tell me about the new space agency, 20,000 jobs, hello?
Look, I don't know how to answer that question because... Yeah. You know, I don't want to be too negative on it, but you can't help but be too negative because the amount of money being given here is not what they expected. Sure, they've got an appropriation of money. The budget has been reasonably kind insofar as we have that, and we can now tout the fact that we're starting a space agency here in Australia. But it's not what I would have expected, and I certainly think it's not what they wanted, or it's nowhere near the amount of money. They were looking for $50 million. To do seed funding. They've got 26.
God.
Now, this is in a bag of $300 million the government has allocated to developing a space industry. But when you break it down, it's not all that good. $26 million over 4 years, that's seed funding. That's to get the thing going. Dr. Megan Clark's going to run this, ex-CSIRO, chief executive. $15 million for space investments. $260 million of that $300 to develop world-leading core satellite infrastructure and technologies. That's good. That means that we could be developing and selling our own products here and making our own satellites and communication equipment. Also, what it does mean, probably up to 20,000 new jobs in over a decade. And more than that, where I'm concerned, it's going to keep our young engineers and our young science graduates here in our own country, Booker.
And one last thing, David, time travel. Scientists say it can happen. This is something you and I have thought for a while, but if the evidence is there, even better.
Oh, what would you do? Would you go back and do something? Would you go and change something? If you did, what would you change? And
see,
if you did, you wouldn't be where you are today.
Yeah, that's the problem. See, they say there's two versions. The grandfather paradox, where you change the past or you split into another timeline and it really isn't your life anymore.
Yeah, well, my argument is, you know, where are all the people from the future? They'll come back through time. Look, Stephen Hawking talked about this as well. Look, it's a possibility mathematically and on paper this does work. But then again, things on paper don't always work out in practical terms. Ben Tippett, mathematician and physics instructor at the University of British Columbia, has come up with some mathematical tables and some calculations, and he said that space should not be divided into the three dimensions we know, left and right, up and down, and you know, sideways, etc. Time is the one that's separate from the three dimensions. Time is the fourth dimension. And he said these should be mathematically... Nature should wrap these up into one simultaneous space-time continuum. In other words, a round ball of everything that comes back where it started from at some stage. How it works and what it's all about is just not stated here. All it's saying is that here's an idea about time travel and a way to do it that may become possible in the future. Now, my feeling on this is simply that the past is not a place. How can you go back to somewhere that doesn't exist?
Yes.
The past is not a country or a place or a planet. It's a series of events that we all went through at some stage that's now gone. And therefore, the future to me is not foretold, not ordained. It's out there and it's being made every microsecond and changed by everybody and everything on the planet. Decisions that you make from one microsecond to another, or from 1 second or 1 minute to another, determine how your day's going to be. You know, I don't think that this will ever, ever happen. If it did, we've got a big problem. There are going to be people darting always all around the place, going backwards and forwards, hating you and then knocking you off back in 1920 or something. and then you're like, it's just a big... Look, it's good to think about, play around with, but I don't think time travel, as we know it, you know, would ever become possible.
I don't think that we as a species are mature enough to be given the ability to even think this out. Now, I had someone explain to me that you can unravel particles and actually go back and hit that time zone. And apparently you can do the future as well the same way. You go with the probability of decisions made now and you can propel into a possible future. But it's so complicated and we are so infantile when it comes to this knowledge. I don't think you and I in our lifetime or our great-great-great-grandchildren's lifetime will be given that knowledge. So
no, well, I think in the three-dimensional reality of the universe we're in, and one of time, I think the best we can hope for is, you know, faster than light travel, so we can at least arrest time to a degree. Because the faster you go, the slower time slows down, the slower time moves for you. It is possible to go into the future this way, but not in the way that we, you know, with a time machine and then come back. Whenever you go forward in time, you could arrest time, you could slow time down for you by traveling at the speed of light. When you stopped and came back to where we left from, like the Earth, 1 year might pass for you and 100 might pass here.
Yeah.
But you can't come back. You're always stuck in that forward time arrow. Yeah.
And our version of, or vision of time travel is you can go back and forth instantaneously, pop into 1963, back here, and then to 2024 and all that stuff.
Yeah, as portrayed in the movie The Time Machine.
Yeah. All right, David. More at davidrenicki.com. Have a look at that story there. But, David, always interesting.
Thanks, Bill Kerr. Talk to you next week.